day, listeners. This is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you are tuning in to our daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. I had the pleasure of chatting with Jamie Moore about her candidacy for Visionary of the Year for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada and the fundraisers that she is coordinating within her local community in support of the organization and the cause. Jamie, I just wanted to start off by thanking you so much for being here with me again today and for chatting with me. I always appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you so much. Thanks for reaching out.
No worries. Now, you and I are here today, Jamie, to chat one-on-one about your candidacy for a Visionary of the Year for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. And so yes. I was just wondering if you would be willing to start off by speaking to us a little bit about your story and why you decided to take on this candidacy this year.
Yes, definitely. So in the summer of 2022, actually it was July 26 to be exact, I had received a phone call from the clinic here in Knowlton from the receptionist saying to come in to get the results from a biopsy I had. I had had a biopsy because I had a lump on my neck that I was nervous about results. And they also said, bring someone with you, which like is rarely good news when you hear those words. So It was pretty heart sinking in that moment. And still obviously like just uncertain about what it all meant. But I went in later that day with my husband and found out I was diagnosed with lymphoma. And in that moment, I was like, okay, which one is that? Like, you know, all kinds of things are crossing through your mind. And, you know, I've heard of it before, but is that a bad one? Or like all cancers are bad, but, you know, there's different severities. As my doctor said, there's someone else in town who has been diagnosed with this. So I reached out to her very shortly after, because I think that's something that's really helpful to do is just talk to other people who have been through it, especially those early days when everything is still very unsure. After multiple tests, and, you know, it's a big waiting game a lot of the time. In the end, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's follicular lymphoma. It's a lymphoma that, it's a blood cancer that I will have forever, so they say. It's slow growing. So it could be that, you know, I don't have many symptoms for a good while, and I just have to keep an eye on things, keep going in for checkups to see my oncologist. Down the road, it may be that I have to have more radiation, because I did have a little bit of radiation in my neck to take care of the original lump that was there. I called them my lady lumps. Got to keep it humorous, you know? So yeah, it's only been, you know, not even a year, and it's been quite a wild, interesting ride. And I have to say, I'm very grateful that I have, first of all, an incredible community that surrounds me, and not just my family and friends, but the community of Knowlton. Like, I moved back here at the start of COVID from Montreal after having grown up in Knowlton. I've just been so well supported and embraced and loved that it's, you know, it's almost overwhelming at times, but it has been such a game changer in my, you know, in my positivity, my optimism, and my mental health as well. So just so grateful for the people around me. Shortly after I was diagnosed, 2 months later, my dad was diagnosed with follicular lymphoma as well. So that was another rocky ride for, you know, especially for, say, my sisters who now have both a sister and a father who have recently been diagnosed with cancer. So we both have experienced very different journeys. But he just had a PET scan recently and news that he has no active cancer right now. So that is, like, amazing news. It's wonderful. So, yeah, it's just been interesting because we have the same type of cancer. It's not even supposed to be genetic. And also we're going through very different experiences. And I think that's been something that's been interesting to learn too, is, you know, people want to share their stories when they hear about your situation. And it's so nice. And at the same time, like, no one's story is the same, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, as much as it can help you relate and it can help you feel not alone, there's still some loneliness that lies in it, because it feels like no one really knows, you know, like it is something that just feels, and it's not to say I'm so unique and so special and no one has been through what I've been through, but in a certain way that it kind of feels that way sometimes. So all that to say is I was very grateful for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, because early days someone suggested them, and it was actually a friend of mine who works for them, and said, you know, if ever you're interested, they have this program where they match you with a volunteer who you know, has a similar type of cancer as you and maybe is further down the road, so they can share their story with you and answer any questions you have. So I ended up chatting with a woman who was in her 50s or so. And yeah, it was just super helpful to hear her story. And then again, more recently, now that I had had, like, you know, 6 months into it, 7 months into it, my feet on the ground a little more, I wanted to be matched with someone again, because I was going through a little bit of a flare-up in some of my lymph nodes, and I just wanted to talk to someone, you know, to see, because as much as the doctors can be, you know, great support and advice there, it's kind of few and far between when you get to see them or talk to them, so mm-hmm. It's really nice to just have, like, the human, you know, real-life people out there that can help you just either reassure you or, you know, say, yeah, maybe you should get that checked out, or, you know, it's all a bit of a guessing game, so... I've just been really grateful for that organization, for that foundation, and even the woman who works for them, who matched me. Like, she spent time talking with me, and I feel like I learned more about my situation through her than I did through my doctors, actually. Like, it didn't feel rushed, and she answered my questions. She shared her knowledge and everything. So right away, just very, like, appreciative of them. And then a little down the road, this was end of January, my friend who works for them said, hey, we have this huge fundraising campaign that starts in March, and it's for this candidate, a visionary of the year, and I think you would be perfect for it. And I so quickly said, yeah, sure. And she said, okay, we'll meet with my teammate and we'll chat about it. Had a conversation with them, and I was just fully on board to leap into this huge fundraising effort, which I am by no means an experienced fundraiser. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But you know, when you're just, like, guided to say yes to something because it just feels so right, you don't, you know, logically it might not make sense because, you know, you maybe don't have the time or energy or whatever it is, but it's just felt like the right move to make. And you know, I've heard that blood cancers have come so far in terms of their treatment and the hope and anyone's diagnosis. They've come so far in the last 15 years that there's no doubt it's going to come really far in the next 15 years. So if by doing this fundraising, we can be a player, and I say we because, again, the community has already come together so strongly, but we could be a player in making that move even a little faster, perhaps, or, you know, the treatment to come a little bit further even, so that maybe the cancer I have right now, they say I have forever, maybe it won't be forever eventually, you know? So I can only, like, move ahead in that way by taking action with this fundraiser and cultivating this hope.
Yeah, so you just trusted your gut instinct, basically, when you took on this role.
And so I make most of my decisions.
So basically, being a candidate means that your mission is to fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, if I'm understanding correctly.
Right, and what it actually is it's a competition. So there's other candidates across Canada, and I'm sort of more pooled with the Montreal area. I believe there's 8 or 10 of us, and we actually kick off on Thursday morning, so March 23rd. We're having a kickoff at 9 a.m. where we'll get to be introduced. We had to send little introduction videos, so I'll get to kind of see a face for the other candidates that I'm competing against. I mean, ultimately, we're raising money for the same great cause, right? So, if the competitive aspect helps flare things up a little for people to be like, yeah, we want Jamie to win, or, you know, like the town. And really, one of the reasons I'm doing it, I mean, yes, obviously for this great cause, but I really wanted to bring some light to Knowlton as well, or the Lac-Rome area. You know, I really thought it could be a way that could bring some visibility to the town, and I'll share more, but I'm, you know, doing these events over the next 10-week period, and I just wanted the businesses to, like, feel some of the effort from this as well, like, to do well. I mean, I'm such a supporter of other entrepreneurs and other small businesses that, you know, I felt like this could go hand in hand with that. It could also bring in that positivity. So, yeah, it is a competition, and last year's winner, I believe, raised $160,000. My original, like, soft goal, I'm calling it, is $25,000. My stretchy goal is $50,000, which the more and more I see that people are willing to help, the more and more, I mean, I see these auction items that we've got a silent auction at the Lakeview on March 25th, Saturday, March 25th from 6 to 9, and there's like 50 incredible items to bid on. I have no doubt we can reach $50,000 and hopefully even beyond that. So I'm very, very hopeful for, being up there.
Well, now that you've already kind of touched on it, why don't we talk a little bit more about these events and fundraisers that you have planned here within the community? I know that you're collaborating with some local businesses and organizations, so I didn't know if you wanted to highlight the different things that you plan on doing in support of the cause.
Absolutely. So on top of Thursday, we have the kickoff call in the morning. I am doing a light the night walk. This was actually suggested to me by fellow blood cancer survivor, Miranda Cote, who lives in Knowlton. She did a lot of fundraising for Light the Night, which is another fundraiser that the LLSC does more so in October. And so she said it'd be fun if you did like almost a mini version of this Light the Night. And so what I'm going to do on the evening of Thursday the 23rd is we're going to meet in the pub parking lot, whoever wants to come, at 7 p.m. or we'll kick off the little walk around the village at 7. And Paula Santera, who manages the pub, has kindly offered to collect some lanterns and lights that people could purchase, and the money would go to the cause. So we'll just be hopefully this like blob of lights moving our way through the village. And I wanted to, you know, kick off at the pub in hopes that maybe after we could go in and have a drink and support the pub, you know, for that evening at least, and just bring awareness to the kickoff of it, because already, again, so many people have like, how can I help? And unfortunately, I can't start raising money until March 23rd, because I have exactly 10 weeks to do this, you know, competition. So that'll be a fun way to just say like, okay, now we begin, and now money can start rolling in. I have a sort of barcode that will take you right to the donation page, right to the donation link, so people can easily donate in that way. Or of course, by cash or check is another way that people can donate. And then the next one right after, on the Saturday, which is the one I mentioned, is we're doing a silent auction at the Lakeview Inn in Knowlton. So the 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. Actually, we're taking the pens away at 8:45. So that will be when the final bids have to be in by. My friend Ashley has helped me tremendously in both collecting the donations, and also she's a graphic designer and artist, and she's done all the graphics and promotional posters and stuff. You may see them around town. She's made the theme is sort of red clouds, so kind of these like, you know, reinventing the look of blood, because we don't want to just have like blood drops everywhere. That'll be a super fun night. You can purchase drinks at the Lakeview, and I was really happy to kind of support the Lakeview that evening, and they were so kind to give us the venue for free. Oh. So I'm really hoping, you know, that their bar does well that evening, and people purchase some drinks and, you know, obviously safely make their way home. And then the next event after that, I'm actually doing a live crystal sale through the Loom on March 30th. So at 6 p.m. there'll be a live, if you go on Instagram and the Loom's Instagram page, we'll be doing a crystal sale of dragon blood crystals and bloodstone crystals. And I've seen them, they're gorgeous. And so all of the proceeds will be going towards the LLSC. And then the following event is April 7th, which is a show at Thirsty Boot. Shane Murphy, who is a friend of mine, and I've seen him perform probably close to 30 times in Montreal when I was living there, and he comes out to the Boot pretty regularly to play. I reached out to him and asked, hey, would you be interested in doing a fundraiser event for this cause? And he just responded yes, like immediately just responded yes. And that's how people have been throughout this, and it's, again, it's just so heartwarming to see people wanting to be so generous, you know. So him, along with Dan Webster, the owner of the Boot, have just been like gung-ho about this, and that is surely going to be a super fun night. We're also going to have a raffle going on, so people can buy raffle tickets with some more prizes there. But yeah, it's just going to be a good time again, and people can make donations, of course, and part of the proceeds will go to the cause as well. And then on April 22nd, I just had a meeting with Patrick from Le Sapin. We're going to be doing a dinner and auction. We started getting so many auction items that we realized we needed to kind of split it up a little, space it out. This is how kind people have been.
Better to have more than not enough.
Exactly. Couldn't agree more. So yeah, that'll be a dinner on April 22nd, it's a Saturday. We just saw the menu and it looks incredible. So as of next week, you'll be able to go to Le Sapin to purchase your tickets. $120 for the tickets. It's a 4-course meal that you get. The tip is included in that, but beverages are not. So I'm hoping that, again, he'll make some money off the bar. He is kindly donating half of the proceeds from the ticket, the dinner ticket, to the cause as well. So again, just huge generosity there. And there's 67 seats. So we're hoping to sell all 67 tickets. That would be amazing. And then again, there's going to actually be some silent auction items, some smaller, you know, things that people could bid on throughout dinner, throughout the evening. And then we're also going to have a live auction going on. So I need to double confirm this, but Cam Brown, the owner of Camlins, I believe, has offered to do the auction as the auctioneer that evening. So I feel like that'll be fun, where people will have the paddles, and you know, maybe there'll be some friendly competition amongst fellow Knowltoners, kind of thing. They'll want to outbid each other. That's my hopes, anyways. Those are the events for so far. We've got those kind of four lined up to kick off, and then we'll have more in May. There's going to be a wine tasting. My friend and partner in business, Jessica Adams, we're going to do a wonder walk. She's also doing some nature walks as well, some birding events where the proceeds are going to go to this. So at this point, we've got a lot that we've kind of taken on and put under, you know, it's been a lot of work, I have to say. Like I said, I didn't know what I was getting into, but it's for a great cause, so I'm super happy to volunteer all this time and energy. But people are asking how they can help. And the best way right now, like moving forward, is to either make a monetary donation. And if you can't do that, of course, like, it's okay, you know. And then the other thing I'm suggesting to people is, if, you know, you have a piece of art or something that you've made or a service that you provide, is putting it out there to people and saying, hey, I'm raising money for this cause. If you, like, basically creating, people could create their own mini auctions or own, you know, mini events that they want to do, and then make a donation to the cause. That would be like huge. We're doing a lot already, so I just feel like that would be so helpful, if people, you know, just take things into their own hands if they want to help us out here.
Yeah, just take their own initiative when it comes to supporting the cause. Now, you mentioned before, Jamie, that the fundraiser is going on for 10 weeks. And let's just say people can't go to these events due to having something else scheduled, for example, or something. Are they able to just make, is there a place where they can just make a general donation to your cause?
Absolutely. So I don't, that's where the link is. I have the link in my email, but it's not available. I don't want to give it to anyone before March 23rd, because again, that's when I can only start taking in money. So very soon I will be sharing that link everywhere. So it'll be on my Instagram bio. I'll put it up on my website, jamiemoore.com. And then I'm just going to be blasting it all over, you know, my Facebook, Knowlton.com's Facebook page, and anywhere else. And that's where there'll be some signs as well with the barcode that people can scan, and that'll take you right to the donation page. So I'm hoping to have a bunch of those up as well.
Great. Now, I guess my last question for you, Jamie, in all of this would be, why do you think, from your perspective, it's so important for the people to support the cause and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada?
You know, there are so many people are affected by blood cancers, and it doesn't just affect one population. It's all ages. There's so many children as well. And, you know, I think either if you're listening to this, maybe you have been affected yourself or someone that you know, and if not, it could happen. Like, and I don't want to be pessimistic about that, but I didn't think it would happen to me. You know, I am a healthy person, yoga teacher, all that stuff, and you just never know. There's so many causes you can give to. So I don't want to say that this one is more important than any other. You know, I think you really have to just give to where your heart speaks to or where you feel close to. You know, my uncle battled with MS, so I was always giving to MS. And you can only give to so many things, too. So like, just to say, it doesn't need to be this, even. But if you have the means to give, or the way, like, even the time and energy to give, I've met people that just want to donate their time. That is so huge and important. And I just think giving back in this way, I think that's how we make the world a better place, basically, and offer hope. I just think hope is a word that's just been really important to me lately, and just that sense of, you know, feeling hopeful to the future. I don't want to take away from any other cause, almost, you know, but right now, this one is really important to me, and I know a lot of people want to help. It's really meant a lot to me, everyone's support.
Yeah, it can happen, like you said, it can happen to anyone, so supporting the cause can make a difference in someone else's life or in your own without you even realizing,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And again, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but I know my dad got me to look into the efficiency of the LLSC, because, you know, sometimes certain causes, you're not really sure where the money is going to, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff on the back end that it goes to, and it's not actually going to the research. I can't remember exactly, but this one looked really good. Even as it hit its accountant, check into the numbers and everything. So they do a good job. They do a good job with their money. I can say that for certain.
Perfect. Well, those are all the questions that I had for you, Jamie. I really just wanted to get the word out to the community, even though it seems like the whole community is on board already. I just wanted to get it out to people that you were doing this. If anyone is interested in supporting the cause, like you said, it's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. So I really just wanted to spread the word, and it really seems like a big community effort, and like everyone's getting on board. So that's super great to hear.
Yeah, thank you so much, Taylor. Thank you for giving me a voice here, and yeah, for just allowing me to share the word a little bit more, because there's always a few more ears that the message could grab, you know.
Well, thank you so much again, Jamie.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.